Good. Well, let me begin this morning by asking a question. Has God forgotten me? I don't know, a question maybe that you've ever asked, or maybe it's a question that you've, someone else has asked, maybe a friend or a family member. It's a sort of question we could ask maybe when we've prayed. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we think, God, have you forgotten me? Or maybe it's we haven't prayed at all and we just think, life's so bad, God must have forgotten me. Maybe it's in a time of illness, when healing seems unlikely or slow. Do we ask, God, have you forgotten me? Maybe we long to be married, but we remain single. God, have you forgotten me? Maybe it's we long for children, but God doesn't give them. We think, God, have you forgotten me? Maybe you're looking for a job and you just get turned down time after time. You think, God, have you forgotten me? Maybe you pray for your children to come to know Jesus and they walk away. And you think, God, have you forgotten me? You're not listening? Maybe it's when we struggle with our mental health. Maybe if times in depression or struggling, we ask that question, God, have you forgotten me? Maybe it's when we stand up for our faith. We do the right thing to honour Jesus, and then it just all goes catastrophically wrong. God, have you forgotten me? And my guess is for some people in the room here today, those are real questions. What is God doing in my situation? Where is God? Some of us will have had those experiences in the past, and my guess is some of us will experience them in the future. And for some of us, we may be walking alongside someone who's going through that now. 18 months ago, I had to walk alongside someone who was struggling with very severe depression. Well, they were a Christian. They'd given up a job to come and serve Jesus Christ in a church, and then got themselves very unwell. You see, on one level, they knew God loved them, and yet they felt very far from God, quite abandoned by God at times. And they were asking that question, has God forgotten? See, right at the heart of these questions, aren't they, are questions about the future and about the character of our God. And how do we live when we don't know the future? How do we live when the here and the now doesn't feel like it's working out as I might have hoped? How do we live when things feel unjust and we are struggling as a result of injustice? I think those questions are right at the heart of our passage today. So we're back in the book of Genesis. Look at the story of Joseph. And it began a couple of weeks ago with that reminder that Joseph had a dream. A dream which was given by God about the future. A future where he would be raised up and the brothers and his family would bow down. It would be how God would move his wonderful promises to Abraham to save a people through Jesus forward. And you get to our passage today and frankly, life hasn't really panned out probably as Joseph had expected. He's been sold by his brothers. He's ended up a slave in Egypt. He's been sold by his brothers out of their sheer wickedness. And then he ends up in Potiphar's household. God blesses him, and he does a really good job, and yet Potiphar's wife treats him so badly that she lies about him that he's now ended up back in prison again. I think I find striking about this passage is Joseph begins in prison and ends in prison. He hasn't gone very far. He had this dream about him being raised up and the brothers bowing down, and yet he's still languishing in a prison cell. It's a passage that's got this word remember coming up a couple of times, which is interesting. So verse 14, we'll come to this in a moment, but Joseph wants to be remembered. He's in his cell. He wants the cupbearer to remember him. And we get to the end of the story, and what happens? He's forgotten. Cupbearer doesn't remember him. Humanly speaking, he seems to have been forgotten and left, as Joseph himself puts it, in a dungeon. See, we know already from this story that Joseph is God's man, part of God's plan to rescue the world. And yet, life is hard for Joseph. And here's a very simple reminder of where we're going to be going, is that life is not always easy for God's people. And God does not always promise life will be easy. There will be times when, humanly speaking, we will feel forgotten. But God is always with us. And so with those things in mind, let's dive in. Now, our plan this morning is I just want to walk us through the text. I want to just make some observations as we go, and then I want to draw out some conclusions from the whole thing, some implications for us. So firstly, let's have a look. Verse 1. Some time later. Now, firstly to observe is time is ticking. Now, if you follow this narrative, we do get the marker point. So Joseph is 17, it seems, that when he's sold into slavery back in chapter 37. 17 years old. We're going to learn in the next chapter he's going to be 30 before he gets out of this dungeon. So we've got a 13-year period where he's been sold to the Midianites, ended up being a slave in Potiphar's house, gets back in the dungeon, and we know definitively there's another 2 years is going to pass from the end of our chapter today before he gets out. 13 years. Just ask the question, what were you doing in 2005? Well, that's quite a long time ago. I was thinking 13 years ago, that's when I first moved to London. An awful lot has happened in my life in the last 13 years. Where's Joseph been? A slave and in a dungeon, waiting for God's promises to come true. Just first thing to observe, time is ticking. God has made promises, but time is ticking. But then let's look through. Firstly, we see that the cupbearer and the baker join Joseph in prison. So these are two of Pharaoh's officials, and they come down and join Joseph in prison. Now, we've learned from the last chapter that Joseph has been put in charge of the prison, and these two come, and it looks like Joseph is in charge of them. We don't get told why they're put there, just that Pharaoh was angry with both of them. Now, but it's worth noting, the cupbearers and bakers, these are significant roles in Pharaoh's household. They are to stop Pharaoh being poisoned, and it will be their responsibility to check the food. But whatever happens, they've fallen out of favour, and they've ended up in the dungeon, and Joseph is responsible. But then what happens? Well, the cupbearer and the baker each have a dream. Of course, we need to think like ancient Near Eastern people. Dreams are always given by God. And interestingly, verse 5, they both have different dreams on the same night. And they wake up from these dreams and they feel dejected. Now, clearly, these dreams had a real impact on these men. And they're clearly very stressed by the contents. And Joseph, as sort of the prisoner in charge, notices and asks, verse 7, why they look so sad. And verse 8, the answer comes back. We both had dreams, but there is no one to interpret them. Now, again, we've got to get ourselves into the world of the ancient Near East here. You see, in those days, if you had a dream, you went and consulted the dream experts. What is the divine saying to me? And it seems that in Egyptian world, you could have had whole books of Egyptian dreams and sample interpretations. But of course, in this prison, there is no such access to these dream interpreters. So they come to Joseph and says there's no one to interpret them. But note how Joseph responds. Do not interpretations belong to God? Joseph's first thing he says is, yes, there is an answer and it belongs to God. God is the one who gives interpretations. Now again, I just note here, when we last had Joseph with dreams, it was all about Joseph I had, verse 37. Now he's very quick to say the Lord gives the interpretation. I'm wondering if it's just a small picture of Joseph starting to be changed. But anyway, they both have these dreams. Next simple point is God enables Joseph to understand the dreams. So the cupbearer has his dream. It's a vine with three branches. All these branches give rise to grapes, and Pharaoh's cup was then put in the cupbearer's hand, and he squeezed the grapes, and the cup was given back to Pharaoh. And Joseph then explains what the dream means. Just let me read verses 12 to 15. This is what it means, Joseph said to him. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews. And even here, I have done nothing to deserve being put
in a dungeon. So it gives the interpretation. The cupbearer will be restored. But we get a little insight, don't we, into Joseph's mind in this prison. He goes, please, remember me. Remember me, says Joseph. Show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh. And Joseph's all too aware of the injustice he suffered, isn't he? I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews. And even here I've done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. I think we are meeting a Joseph who wants to get out of this mess he's in. But it's not the only dream. The baker also has a dream, which has far less positive an outcome. And the end of the dream, of course, is that the baker will be impaled on a pole by Pharaoh. And then the next thing we see is the dreams come to pass, but Joseph is forgotten. Verse 20, we learn it's Pharaoh's birthday. And my guess is Pharaoh's birthday is a big party. And anyway, this is incredible feast comes to the Egyptian officials. And what God has shown in the dreams and the interpretation that God has given Joseph comes to pass. Cupbearer, restored. Baker, empowered. Just as Joseph has said to them in their interpretation. Then the passage ends. Verse 23. Let me just read it again. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. You get in the passage, you think, God's had this plan, and so far it's looking even less likely of it coming to fruition, doesn't it, humanly speaking? We have Joseph forgotten in the dungeon. Now this remember word is interesting. It's zakar in the Hebrew. And if you've read Genesis up to now and looked at every time someone's done some remembering, you'll find it's always God. And God always remembers. Let me tell you. God, same word, remembered Noah in the flood. God remembers his Noahic covenant with the rainbow. God remembers Abraham when he destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. God remembers Rachel when she's unable to have children. God remembers so far. God has been the one who's done all the remembering so far in Genesis. But the cupbearer forgets. And we've learned from the beginning of this narrative that God is always with his people. And God is with Joseph. See, humanly speaking, he may have seemed forgotten. But God never forgets. And God will remember, or enable, as we'll see this time, the cupbearer to remember in due time. What are the implications of this for us? Let me suggest three this morning. Firstly, this is a reminder that God does not promise that life will always be easy. God does not promise that life will always be easy. See, we know as readers of Genesis that God has a plan. A plan announced to Abraham. And we know that Joseph's dreams are part of that plan moving forward. And yet, at this point of time, for God's plan to come through, it means that Joseph still is having to suffer as a result of injustice and wickedness. God's plan does not mean life will be easy. But God's plans, of course, what are God's plans for us as New Testament believers? See, all these promises are pointing to his plan in Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ has now come. He's enabled us to be forgiven, to be reconciled and be friends with God. And Jesus Christ is now building his church, made of a people from every tribe and tongue and nation, just as he promised back to Abraham. Jesus is building his church, that's his plan. And he promised that his good works for us as his people to get on and do now. We know that he's at work in our hearts, his Holy Spirit dwells in us, and he is with us for eternity. And we know that one day Jesus will return. That is God's plan. That's what God's doing now. But he does not promise that life will be easy until Jesus comes back. See, Joseph is in the dungeon as a result of wickedness and injustice, and we will face the same things. God does not promise that life will be easy for his people. The Bible's clear, God is never responsible for evil. And he uses the evil of others for good to achieve his plans and purposes. I think we see a glimpse of that here with Joseph. So if you're here and you're struggling at the moment, what you're going through has been true of God's people throughout history. They will suffer a result of wickedness, injustice, and suffering because we live in a fallen world. But God does not promise life will be easy, but he promises one day it will be when Jesus Christ comes back. And what's more, we have a Saviour, Jesus. He's lived in this world and been through it. See, Joseph lived through the dungeon and came out. Jesus died and rose again. He has been there for us. And Jesus is quite clear, it will be hard times. And so just, for some of us maybe here, we just need to reorientate our expectations, I think, of the Christian life. Hard times may come. And it may come through injustice and wickedness, just as it did for Joseph. It may come through illness, bereavement, or depression. And that may be true for us individually and for us corporately as a church. But just because we're going through and feeling those things does not mean God's plans and purposes will not be achieved, but they will be. And so that's my second thing I want to just draw out. God is with his people. Now, if you've got a Bible, this is great. It would be quite helpful to see this chapter in connection with chapter 39, the one that went before. I'd just like to read verse 20 of the previous chapter. So Joseph's master, this is just after the Potiphar incident. Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. Now our Bibles have put the chapter breaks in later, and they've gone for the chapter break after verse 23. I wonder if actually the chapter break might have been better than just three verses earlier. Because that's when the geographical shift from Potiphar's house moves, doesn't it, into the prison. But while with their Joseph was in the prison, the Lord was with him. And verse 53, the warder paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph. See, our whole understanding of Joseph in the prison has to be understood by the fact that the Lord is with Joseph. The Lord is the one who's given him the interpretation of the dreams. The Lord is with him. The Lord does not forget. Our Bible's clear, the Lord is with us. The Spirit dwells in us, and Jesus has promised he will never leave us to the very end of the age. See, God is with his people. Therefore, in the midst of suffering, whatever we're facing, God is with us. Even in the darkness. Thirdly, God's timing is not ours. It seems to me that as you read this, we start to realise that God has a plan, but you achieve it in his timing. The Apostle Peter writes, "Dear friends, with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. For the Lord 1,000 years is like a day, and a day like 1,000 years. See, God's timing is perfect, it seems. He will raise Joseph up out of this dungeon at his time. And we live in a generation that wants everything now, don't we? You go online and you want to purchase something and you get frustrated if you can't have it the next day. I get cross and it's going to be there next week. See, our world wants everything now, but God's timing is perfect because his plans and purposes are perfect. And therefore, patient, trusting faith is what we're being called to. That's what Joseph had to do in the dungeon. And what we're called to as well. The Jews were closed. I began by asking that question, has God forgotten me? The answer is no. If you're one of his people, God is with you. He doesn't promise that life will be easy. We will suffer as a result of wickedness, injustice, and living in a fallen world. But he is with us. Jesus Christ has died for us so that we can be forgiven. And we need to trust that his timing is perfect. But there is a time going to come, a time we don't know, when Jesus Christ will return and restore all that is perfect in God's will. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this passage this morning. Father, thank you that you have plans and purposes to bring the whole world together under Jesus Christ. So please help us to see our lives as part of that big plan. Father, where we're struggling, help us to remember that you never leave us. Help us to stand firm, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, and looking for that day when he will come back and restore all things. I say in Jesus' name.